One of the basic fundamental flaws with the grace unity movement and a failure to understand that while grace is absolutely essential, no one can be saved without it, it tries to de-emphasize and tries to make another part of this equation that it is not necessary. And so whenever we talk about grace, and whenever we get into this discussion about the role of grace and what grace does and what it does not do, one of the things that seems, the religious world seems to think that is in conflict with grace is the fact of law. What part does law play along with grace? And so today, I want to talk about law and grace, a contrast. And I want to tell you before I begin that God did not put these things at opposite ends of each other. These are not at work against one another. Law and grace work together in order to provide for man the salvation that is only can be found in Christ Jesus. And you cannot exempt one or the other. Those who want to preach that grace takes care of everything try to marginalize, minimize, and say that law cannot save us. And I want to illustrate that there is a truth in that. There is a truth that law itself cannot save us. One of the things and arguments that we have often made in our classes, and one that has been brought up numerous times by Brother Steele, is the law of Moses was never intended to save us. The law of Moses was never given and never given to the nation of Israel to save them. The law of Moses could not save them. The law of Moses was given for two reasons. Number one, to illustrate to them that they were sinners, and to illustrate that they needed a Savior, and they needed mercy, and they needed grace. But the law was also given to them to show them that they had responsibility and duty to God in order to be a recipient and to be able to ever obtain grace. And so we want to look at what the Scripture says as it talks about grace and law together. This is one of the reasons that I've told you in the past that the book of Romans is probably the most difficult book in the New Testament. And it is because people have not understood these things. They have not understood the role of law and the role of grace as it pertains to the salvation of man. Both are necessary components, and you can't marginalize one against the other, and one is not at odds with the other. And so let's see how they work together. First of all, man is justly condemned for sin. The five points, proposition points, that Paul makes in Romans. In the book of Romans, Paul is making arguments. Paul is making arguments throughout the book of Romans. Things that people believe that are contrary to God's will, and he makes these arguments throughout the book. One of the things that he points out is that man is justly condemned for sin. Man is condemned for sin. Why? Because he is a sinner. He is condemned for sin because he is a sinner. Romans 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul showed that Gentiles who did not know God, who did not have a relationship with God, they were sinners. But the Jews were also sinners because they were given the oracles of God, but they did not keep them. They did not follow them. Therefore, they were transgressors of the law, and they have the same spiritual predicament. They're also condemned by their sin, just like the Gentile is condemned by their sin. And in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7, he showed that law is not the remedy. Now again, when he uses the word law in this context, in chapter 6 and 7, he is talking specifically about the law of Moses. He is talking how the law of Moses could not save them. And the only reason that law cannot save is very easy, is because if law could save you, you would have to be a perfect law keeper. You could never transgress the law. That's the only way the law could be the remedy. The law can only be the remedy if men never broke it, if not men never violated it. But since men do, then that is not the remedy. And in chapter 3, and also chapter 3 of Galatians, he says that grace is a remedy. Grace is a remedy to do what the law could not do. But that doesn't mean that the law is not necessary. You see, that's the step that the people who believe in grace only, that's the fatal step that they take. They take the step that says grace is the answer, says grace is what makes it possible to be the remedy, then we don't need law. That's a mistake. That's a mistake because the law has a purpose. The law has a purpose under the old law. It has a purpose under the law of Christ. Grace is only available through faith. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says that grace is only available through faith. Well, how does a man gain faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is produced by hearing of God's word. What is God's word? God's word is law. God's word is the standard. And so if faith is the access to grace, then law is needed for one to have faith and to produce faith. And so you see, you need all three. You need grace, you need faith, and you need law. And all of them work together in order to provide salvation for man. Salvation in Christ is by grace, is for the Jew and the Gentile alike. In Romans chapter 9 through 11, he talks about grafting in and grafting out. He talks about natural branches, and he talks about those that have been grafted in, referring to the Gentiles. And what he's trying to say in Romans 9 through 11 is that Jew and Gentile have equal access, have equal footing in receiving grace because of the law. The law gives both of them access to the same grace. Now, under law, are we under law? Under law, all are guilty. All that are under law are guilty. Look at Romans chapter 4 and look at verse number 15. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 15. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now listen, brethren, if there is no law, then there's no sin. How can there be transgression if there is transgression, and there is, because 1 John 3 verse 4 says that law, that sin is a transgression of the law, and so all are under law because all have transgressed the law. The only way that law could benefit is if it is not violated. You see, consequences of violating God's law. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the prophet Ezekiel said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And in a passage that you're more familiar with, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, the consequences of violating God's law is spiritual death. But in order to spiritual death to be thrust on us, then we would have to know the law, and then we would have to violate the law. How could God condemn you for violating the law if there is no law? How could you violate the law if there is no law? You have to have a law in order to be able to violate it. Only way to be justified under a system of laws is if you keep it perfectly. Look at Galatians chapter 3, and this is the very argument in Galatians 3 and verse 11. But no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, For the just shall live by faith. James 2 and verse number 10 made the argument that if you violate the law in any point, that makes you a lawbreaker. It says, for whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. It doesn't matter, brethren, how many laws you break. One law makes you a lawbreaker. One broken law makes you a transgressor. And one sin can separate you from God. Can one sin separate you from God? It can. Isaiah 59 makes that argument. Your iniquities have separated you from God. If you commit sin, it changes your relationship with God. Let me give you a Bible example. What about Adam and Eve? What did he tell Eve in Genesis chapter 2? He said, in the day that you eat of it, in the day that you commit this sin, in the day that you transgress this law, in the very day that you do it, you are guilty of sin and you die spiritually. What was the only law that Adam and Eve broke? What law did they break? They broke Genesis 2, 16 and 17. That's the law they broke. It was only one law. But that made them guilty of sin and made them subject to spiritual death. You see, that's why law cannot save you, because all of us violate it and we cannot keep it perfectly. Yet all of us have sinned, as we already mentioned earlier. Therefore, all deserve to die. Now, here's the point. The point is, law is not bad, but law cannot save, because not everybody can perfectly keep the law. And since none of us can perfectly keep the law, then we need grace. That's why we need grace. We need grace because we are not perfect law keepers, and therefore we need grace. But the mistake is made that now that we have grace, we don't need the law. That's just false. All are amenable to the law. It doesn't matter if you don't believe it. It doesn't matter if you agree with it. It doesn't matter if you're a believer. You're amenable to law. All men are amenable to law. If all men are not amenable to law, then there's no transgression. 1 John 3 and verse 3. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Scripture says, and everyone who has this hope is purified himself just as he is pure. You see, we can be purified from our sin. So all are amenable to law. Brethren, you may not agree with some of God's laws. That's your prerogative. You might not obey some of God's laws. That's your prerogative. But that doesn't mean that you're not accountable. You know what? Let me give you an example. You might not agree with all the tax laws that our country has. I don't agree with a lot of them. And I definitely don't agree how they spend my tax money. I definitely don't agree how they misuse it and how they misappropriate it. Does that mean I don't have to pay it? Well, I wouldn't tell you to take that route, because then you'll have more problems. You see, you still have to pay taxes. You might not agree with everything they do, but you still are obligated to pay taxes, because we are to be law-abiding. Law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Here's what the old law's purpose was. The law of Moses was given in order to demonstrate that man needed a Savior. And that law was so designed to lead us down a path that would lead us to the remedy of our sin problem. What was the remedy of our sin problem? The remedy to the sin problem was Christ. And so when we arrived at Christ, when Christ died on the cross, that's when the law was abrogated. That's when the law was set aside. Colossians 2 verse 14, it says the law was nailed to the cross. Why? Because now the law was not needed, the old law, because it had served the purpose for why God gave it. And so, but that didn't erase law. When the Bible says the law was nailed to the cross, that didn't mean all law. See, that's the mistake that the people in the religious world make. They say, well, see, all law was nailed to the cross. No, not all law. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross because now it had served what it was designed to do, and that was to bring us to Christ. Law makes us aware of our need for mercy. In Romans 3:19, the Bible tells us that we are in need of mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is something that is given to us that is not merited or deserved. Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. You know, I remember when we were, years ago, when I was did a lesson here on the big picture of the Bible. When you and I stand before the throne, when you and I stand to give an account on the day of judgment, what do we want? We want mercy. That's what we want. We want mercy. We want mercy because what? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve heaven. But we want mercy. And you see, the law makes us aware that we need mercy because there's things that we cannot do. There's things that we cannot remedy. We cannot remedy a fix to our sin. We can't do that. We don't have any ability to fix that problem. And so we need mercy. Therefore, all deserve to die, but that's why grace is absolutely needed. Even though we all deserve to die, we all need grace. The law makes us aware that we are less than perfect. Doesn't it? The law makes us aware that we're less than perfect. Because we all sin, and first it says he has no sin is a liar, the truth not in him. In Romans 3, verse 19, the Bible says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now what does that mean? That all become guilty before God. You know why all become guilty before God? Because all are amenable to law. Whether you like it or not. Whether you agree with it or not. When you violate the law, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, you become a transgressor. And you become worthy of death. So all of us are in this predicament. There's not a man or woman that's ever lived on the earth or will ever live that will not need grace. But at the same time, there's not a man or woman that will ever live on the earth or have lived that won't need law. They're going to need both. No article here. No article of the. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in itself. Now, there's no the here. The law. It says, therefore by the deeds of the law. It's not talking about all law. In the context, it's talking about the law of Moses. The law of Moses cannot justify a man. If you kept all the law of Moses, that would not justify you. Okay? But that's not, again, that's not saying that all law is bad. Let me show you. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, redemption is through Christ. We're justified freely by his grace. What does the word justify mean? The word justify means to acquit. It means to make us right. What makes us right before God? It's not our sinless actions, because we all have sin. How can a man who is guilty of sin, who's transgressed God's law, how can they stand before God justified, acquitted, not condemned? How can he do that? Only because of the grace that is through redemption. Grace through redemption. We need grace, but we also need to be redeemed. And that means bought back from sin. And how are we bought back from sin? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. That's how we're bought back from sin. And so the contrast is seen in these verses. All have sinned, therefore we cannot claim justification on law basis. For none have kept the law perfectly. Therefore, we can't say the law saved us, because the law was never perfectly kept. So none can say that the law saved them by itself. It can't. Note the grammar. For all have sinned. The Greek, it means already sinned. All have come short. They are still coming short. They are still sinning. It's a constant process. We're always going to fall short. We're always going to commit sin. It's something that we do because we're weak and we're frail. Not because we have to, because we choose to. Therefore, we are saved by grace, not based on law. But yet, obedience is necessary. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, it uses Abraham. It uses the man Abraham as an example of how faith and grace works together. It says, "What then shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For where does the scripture say, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now again, if law saves us and works saves us, then it's a debt that God owes us. It's a debt that we're owed because of the work that we've done. You see, those who disagree with us, they believe that we think we can earn it, merit it, and we can obligate God to give it to us. Such teaching is false. I've never taught it, I don't believe it, and the scriptures doesn't teach it. We're not in a debt system. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. We cannot pay for our sin. We have debts that we could never pay. The debt of sin no man can pay. That's why law can't save you. Because no matter how much of you kept, it still wouldn't justify you being redeemed. You need something else. I need something else. If you were justified on works or law basis, you could brag about it. But you see, nobody can do that. That's the point. Nobody can brag about it because nobody's done it. Who's kept the law perfect? You know, there's only one person that could brag about it. Only one person could brag that he was a perfect law keeper, never broke the law. And he's not here. And that was the Son of God. He lived 33 years on earth as a man and never violated or broke the law. That will never, ever be duplicated again. Every man and woman who are accountable, as long as they live here and they're accountable to their actions, they will commit sin. That's a fact. And therefore, that's why we need grace. In Galatians 3, verse 8 and 9, the scripture says, "For seeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham before, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Now I want you to notice this passage. The gospel was first preached to Abraham. Wait a minute. The gospel wasn't preached till Acts 2. On the day of Pentecost, no. It was first preached to Abraham. When did God preach the gospel to Abraham? In Genesis 12 and verse 3. When he says, "In thy seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed." Did that mean just one race? Or did that mean all races? in you all nations of the earth will be blessed. That was the gospel. Who's the gospel for? Who did he send them out to preach to? To preach to every creature. You see, all are in need of grace because we're all lawbreakers. Verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things written in the book of law." Now listen, we're all cursed under the law because we didn't keep it perfectly. So therefore, we're cursed. We're condemned. We're unlawful. We have been unlawful. And so if the works of law, if we break them, then that's why the law can't save you. Because when you break it, it puts you under the curse. What's God saying? God would justify the Gentiles, the nations, by faith, not through the works of the law. The law of Moses is not going to save them. Their obedience to the law of Christ is not going to save them alone. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why are they under the curse? Because they broke the law. We are under the curse because we broke the law. We're lawbreakers. That means the law alone cannot save us. But brethren, how would you know that you were a lawbreaker if you didn't have a law? Let me ask you a question. If law is unnecessary, why did God give one to Adam and Eve? If law is unnecessary, why did Adam and Eve receive that law in Genesis 2:16 and 17? If law is unnecessary, why did God give the law of Moses to the nation of Israel? Why did he give the law to the Jews? If the law is not necessary, why was it given? Law has a purpose, and it will do the purpose for which God created it. But it is not law alone, but it is not grace alone. It takes both the law and grace in order to give salvation. None can keep God's law perfectly. Therefore, we cannot be free on the guilt of the basis of law. The Jews tried this, and Jesus called them hypocrites. The Pharisees thought they kept the law perfectly. They thought they were the guardian of the law, that nobody kept the law like they did. Jesus said they were hypocrites because they didn't keep it perfectly. They violated it, therefore they were guilty just like everyone else. Now, see, here's the point, brethren. The system of law is that you have to do it all. In order for the law to benefit you on a system of law, if man is saved on a system of law, he has to keep that law without transgression. He can't do that. Therefore, law can't save him. The system of faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future. A law system demands perfect obedience. Now, God has never demanded that, and he's not demanding it now. He's not asking for sinless obedience. We're going to sin. And since we're going to sin, since we're going to break law, that means that we need something besides the law. Now, the law's not bad. That doesn't make the law bad because we break it. The law is broken. The law is good if we follow it. The law is good for one that keeps it. But if you don't keep it, then you're going to need grace. And since we've all broken it, and we all will break it, then we all need grace. Demands of the law is that we be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Now, that perfect means sinless. Now, if that means sinless, then we can just close up and go home and don't ever come back, because none of us can do that. Not one of you in this audience, not me, not any of us, can keep the law perfectly. This is our aim. This is what we strive to do. We strive to keep the law completely, but we fail. That's why we need grace. That doesn't mean the law is bad. You see, you could maybe you could reason, well, since we all can't keep it perfectly, then it's too hard. It's too hard, and so we don't need it. No. The law can be kept. Jesus proved it can be kept. Jesus proved as a man that you could keep law perfectly. Jesus proved it could be done. It's not impossible. The reason it's not done is because we don't have the kind of faith that Jesus had and trust. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15, 16, it says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Holy here means separated. We're separated for a spiritual work. And we have to keep ourselves separate from the world. That's something we can do. That's something we don't always do. That's something we fail to do sometimes. It's not because it's impossible. It's because we're weak and we're frail and we make the wrong decision. That doesn't mean the law's bad. That doesn't mean the law is bad. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 3, we are to be pure. We're to keep our hearts and our minds pure. Love, for God is love. 1 John 4, verse 7, we're to be people who demonstrate love. We're to be merciful. As God is merciful to us, we are to be merciful to one another. If these are carried out to the absolute, where does that put you? If these are carried to the absolute, where does that put you? If we have to be completely perfect, sinless, we have to be perfectly holy, perfectly pure, have pure love, and be merciful. If we can't obtain to that in the absolute, where does that put us? It puts us without hope. We're doomed. If we can't keep it perfectly, the demands of the law will condemn us to a life of hopelessness. But that's where God comes in. God makes up the difference so that we can, even though we're lawbreakers, even though we don't do these things perfectly, we can still be saved. You see, the system of law of Christ elevates, makes freedom from guilt more difficult under a law system. You see, the law of Christ elevates law. Angry, you lust, you can resist evil. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Remember the contrast Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount? You have heard it said, like he said, thou shalt not kill. But how did Jesus say that you deal? How do you make sure under the law of Christ that you don't commit murder? You don't have hate in your heart. If you don't have hate in your heart, you won't commit murder. You see, that elevates the law. The law of Christ is elevated. If you take care of the symptom, if you take care of the root of the problem, you won't have the symptom. You see, the law said don't kill. But the law of Christ elevates the law because the law of Christ says don't hate. And if you don't hate, you won't commit murder. What about adultery? He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. How did Jesus present that? When a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart. You see, you're already guilty. The way that you don't commit adultery is you don't lust. If you lust, the inevitable thing is you're going to commit adultery. And so how do you protect yourself from committing adultery? You take lust out of your heart. You see, the law of Christ elevates law. It tells us how we get to the root, how we get to the problem that's leading us to the sin. The law of Moses just told you don't do it. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. Don't steal. Don't lie. But the law of Christ gets to the root of the problem. And the problem is the heart. You get the heart right, you won't commit murder. You love right, you won't commit murder. You get the heart right and don't lust, you won't commit adultery. And if you get the heart right and you don't covet, then you won't be taken away by the possessions of the wealth of the world. You see, if you get it right, the law of Christ gives you the ability to get it right. So it elevated the law. But even that being said, that still couldn't save you. Even if you kept it perfectly. Because you would have to keep that law perfectly too. And we can't. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say we sin, we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth not in us. Perfect obedience versus the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross because we couldn't be perfectly obedient. Romans 4 and Galatians 3 teach the same thing. We are not justified by the works of the law. And the reason we're not justified or made right or acquitted by the law is because we can't keep the law without transgression. Galatians 3, 10 through 12 say this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Here is the curse of a law system which demands absolute perfection. You must measure up in every aspect and respect in order to be free of guilt. Now, here's the point I want to make in concluding this morning. God is not minimizing, He is not marginalizing, and He's not throwing law out the window. Law has a purpose. The law of Moses had a purpose to lead you to Christ. The law of Christ has a purpose in order for us to live clean and pure, holy lives in this world. The reason that both of them failed man is because in both cases, man did not keep them. Man did not keep the law of Moses perfectly. Therefore, God knew he wouldn't, and that's why he knew he couldn't save him. That's why he brought men to the law of Christ. But he knew that men wouldn't keep that law perfectly either. Even though it has a better basis, even though it elevates law to a higher degree, he knew that that couldn't save him either because man would fail to keep that law. And therefore, it took something else. It took something beyond the law in order to save us. What was that? That was God's grace. God's grace is the determining factor of why we'll be saved. Now, does that mean that we don't need law? No. It means that the law and our inability to keep it, show us why we are so in need of grace. And you see, we do the best we can. We strive to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. When we fall short, we pray. We ask God forgiveness. He grants it to us, and we start over again, and we strive to be faithful. But God applies His grace, and that will get us over the finish line. But brethren, if you can be saved without law, then you don't need grace. You see, if you don't need law, then you don't need grace. Because you need both. You're never going to know why you need to be a recipient of grace if you don't know what you've done. How are you going to know what you've done that requires you to need God's grace if you don't have law? You see, brethren, why did God send the apostles out into the whole world to preach the gospel to every creature? Because all of them, no matter where they would be, would all have the same need. They all were guilty of sin. And all would need the grace of God. But how would they find access to the grace without this law? How would they know how to get it? How would you and I know how to get it without this law, without the standard of telling us how to receive it? You see, grace is not at odds with law. Law works together with grace, enabled to produce redemption in Christ Jesus. Please take your song books out and turn to the song that Brother Bill has selected as a means of encouragement. If there's anyone here that needs to obey the gospel or want to that I think most of you, if not all of you today, have already done that. If there are needs in your life that we can pray with you and for you, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we are just and we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1 verse 9. And if we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar of mine. Someday you'll remember your sins. Someday you'll answer the question of why. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Stand at your unprepared, trembling you'll fall on your knees, facing the sentence of life or of death. What will the sentence be?